299 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 299. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Further down the page, there is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant us so to be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading from the second book of Samuel. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Call it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. Mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon them, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled. The shield of Saul, anointed with oil, no more. From the blood of the slain, back of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and loved. In life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perish." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Psalm this morning is Psalm 130. Found on the insert. Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. If you, Lord, were to know what is done amiss,
O Lord,
there is forgiveness with you. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord. With him there is plenteous redemption.
And he shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he might become rich. And in this manner I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your earnestness may be met by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure upon you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I can see that we're gearing up for the 4th of July next Sunday. More and more flags are appearing, more and more people are appearing. It must be summertime. But what I think about in the United States, that we don't celebrate independence one day of the year. We celebrate independence every day of the year. That's who we are. We are independent people. We think we can do it on our own. And sometimes I think we sound like a 3-year-old. I can do it. We don't like to ask others for help, and we don't like to receive help from others. We are independent people. Last week, I talked about when the storms of life come to you, when you get that medical diagnosis, or the economic downturn, or the political chaos, or whatever storm comes into your life. I asked you, where do you turn? Who or what do you rely on? But this week, we're going to shift that a little bit and say, what sustains you when things aren't going well, when you are deeply troubled or grieving? What is it that sustains you? Walter Brueggemann is a Hebrew scripture scholar and theologian, and he wrote, "What we make of pain is perhaps the most telling factor for the question of life and the nature of our faith." It is one thing to believe and trust in a good and provident God when all is going well. But when one is stripped of family and friends, a job, possessions, reputation, and maybe even experiences God's seeming absence, then faith and love and trust are challenged to cry out from new depths. And we hear that today from David. The last couple of weeks, we've been hearing David's song. We heard when he was ordained to be the next king after Saul, and he was a young boy out tending the sheep. The next week, we heard about David and Goliath, how he slew Goliath like that. This week, we hear about the death of King Saul and Saul's son, Jonathan. And in the scripture, we hear that David loved Jonathan. They were best friends. And David is grieving the death of King Saul at the hand of the Philistines and the death of his dear friend, Jonathan. And so we hear that lament today in the scripture, and we hear the way it's a song that he is just pouring out his heart, trusting in God, leaning on God, relying on God. And we heard the same thing as we said a portion of Psalm 130 today. When we started, "Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice." When we are in those deepest depths of despair, darkness, calling out, "Lord, Lord, hear my voice." And like all of the Psalms, in the end, it turns. It turns to that comfort, to that reliance on God, that trust in God, that belief in God. And it says, O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With him there is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem all Israel from their sins. We're invited to hear this and to know what it means to rely on the Lord, trust in the Lord, lean on the Lord with our whole being. So today we hear that again in the gospel message, and we get our first market sandwich where you have the bread and butter on the outside of the story and the meat on the inside of the story. The story starts with Jairus, who is the leader of the synagogue, coming to Jesus and saying, you have to come right now. My daughter is dying. I need your help right now because I believe that if you come, she will be made well. And so we hear that Jesus and the whole crowd and the disciples start going towards Jairus' house. And then, boom, we stop that story. And there's a woman in the crowd who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And it says she's been to every physician. She's lost all her money. She is desperate. And yet she believes, she has hope. She knows in her heart of hearts, if only I could touch his cloak, I will be made well. And we often talk about what it means for her to break that boundary of a bleeding woman touching somebody not okay, a woman touching a man not okay, and yet she's willing to overcome those obstacles. And she makes her way through the crowd and just touches his cloak, and immediately the hemorrhage stops and she knows she is healed. But Jesus also felt the power go out. He knew that somebody had touched him. He knew that somebody had been healed. And he stops the whole group and he says, who touched me? And it says, in her fear, she stands forward. And she said, I did. And he says to her, your faith has made you well. Your faith, that trust, that belief, that deep abiding, nothing can take it away, has made you well. We then hear the crowd coming from Jairus' town saying, don't bother the teacher, she's dead. Oh well, too bad. And Jesus says, come on, let's go. And he takes Peter, James, and John and Jairus, and they go to the girl's house. And of course, the paid mourners are out there mourning and weeping and carrying on. And he says, get away from here. They go in the house, and he simply takes her hand and says, little girl, get up. And if you deeply read the scripture, she was dead. She was dead. And however, the Father's faith, and that's what Jesus says, your faith, Father, in coming to me and believing that I can heal, has made her well. There's a quote from Brennan Manning. He wrote a book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, Good News for the Bedraggled, Beat Up, and Burnt Out. And he said, God raised Jesus from the dead not because he never flinched or talked back or questioned, but because he flinched, talked back, and questioned, he remained faithful. Today we are going to baptize Anthony James Menace, and today's his second birthday. And I think part of what we gather together, not only to welcome him into the household of God, but to teach him our faith, to share our faith, to support him in his faith. And yet when I ask people, what is your faith? Where do you get your faith? We don't know where faith comes from, but we do. We know that our faith, when we have faith, when we lean on that faith and trust in that faith, it opens us to God's power. We know that with faith we can overcome obstacles. We know that with faith all things are possible. And we also know that faith takes action. Today, the woman had to approach Jesus. Jairus had to approach Jesus.
We can't just sit back and say, yeah, I have faith, why didn't that happen? We have to take action. And so wondering, how do you build your faith? How do you pass on your faith to this little one and to each other? So today, as we say our baptismal covenant, renew our baptismal covenant, renew what we believe, we are strengthening our faith. And so I invite you today to think about how you might strengthen your faith and little Tony's faith. Amen. I invite the family to come forward. And little ones are invited to come forward, and anybody who can't quite see is invited to come forward as we turn to page 301 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. And you too, you can stand right in front here if you want, or you can stand over here. You can stand right in front, okay? The candidate for holy baptism will now be presented. And you say together at the bottom of the page,
I present candidate to receive the sacrament of baptism.
And the parents and godparents answer this, will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will, God's help.
Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God?
I renounce them.
You turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior.
Thank you.
You put your full trust in his grace and love.
Thank you.
You promise to follow and obey him as your Lord.
Thank you.
And now this question is for the entire congregation, and the proper response is a hearty, we will. Will you, who witness these vows, do all in your power to support this person in his life in Christ?
We will.
Let us join with he who is committing himself to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord.
He was conceived
by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of life, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will.
You strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being.
I will, with God's help.
And now let us pray for this person who is to receive the sacrament of new birth.
Deliver him, O Lord, from the way of sin and death.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Open his heart to the grace of your waiting truth.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill him with your holy and life-giving spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
to love others in the power of the Spirit.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Enter into the world with witness to your love.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring them to the fullness of your peace and glory.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Grant, O Lord, that all who are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, your Son, may live in the power of his resurrection and look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praises.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your Son, Jesus, received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah of Christ to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin to everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now sanctify this water, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who hear are cleansed from sin and born again, may continue forever the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to give this a try. Anthony, Tony, Bruce. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I get your face. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon this, your servant, the forgiveness of sin, and have raised him to new life and grace. Sustain him, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give him an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works.
Amen.
Tony, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are sealed in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever.
Amen.
And we say together on the bottom of 308, let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the house, O God, and confess the faith of Christ crucified, proclaim his resurrection, and share with us in his eternal priesthood. Amen. Welcome. Just a couple of announcements, but I'm the only one that I can think of too. First of all, we're singing. Hallelujah. And what goes with that is if you're not feeling well today, don't come to church, but wear a mask, and be around your hands and your face and everything else. It's good to be back together, but we need to be wise at the same time. Along with that, we are having coffee hour today. And it's a very, very simple coffee hour. You're invited to come downstairs after the service. You will see a cookie on a plate. Please take the plate. If you're going to serve yourself coffee, there's Purell there. Please Purell your hands and then pour the coffee. Those are all sharing the same handle and, you know, we're trying to do the best we can. Are there any other announcements I should be thinking of? walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God. Now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, blessed be the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. If you wish to receive communion, I invite you to come forth in a single line down the center aisle. There is Purell there. Please Purell your hands. And then consume the host as you return to your seat. All are welcome at this table. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Body Christ, the bread of heaven. Body Christ, the bread of heaven. Only the grace can be spent. Not by the truth of the land, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence,
Post-communion prayer is found on page 365 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now to the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.